Amen. I saw it again yesterday. I really wasn't looking for it, but there it was. And I've seen it a number of times, and I'm sure you have too. I don't know how many times I see it, but all kinds of things start coming to my mind when I see the sign. And the sign read yesterday, under new management. And, you know, it was just loosely attached outside of a building. I don't know how many times I've seen that here in North Texas. But when I see that sign, under new management, I'm thinking to myself, they're going to try it again. But they were almost going out of business. And they had to get rid of a lot of staff so they could be under new management. And that's really what we're hearing today in our gospel reading. To kind of back up a little bit and give you some context, they liked their church just the way it was. And when the new pastor came, they tolerated him to some degree. But it got harder and harder and harder, even as many of people started following him more and more. The people who were in charge, the leaders, were getting angrier and angrier. And then Palm Sunday comes, and the pastor comes into Jerusalem, and he gets this royal welcome. And then he goes to church, and he throws everybody out of church. And the leaders come to him, and the leaders say, "By what authority are you doing this?" And then Jesus tells them, "By what authority?" And then Jesus starts telling them parables. And we get to the next parable that he gives to those who were in charge, questioning Jesus' authority. And it goes this way. Here another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard. God loves to use the imagery of the vineyard for his church. It's rich in the Old Testament. I mean, we heard Isaiah use it as a metaphor, and then Isaiah says plainly, this vineyard is the house of Israel. The vines are the heads of the household. And they're all feral. They're all wild. They're not producing the crop I intended for them to produce. So it's no wonder Jesus uses the same in the New Testament. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another community. I mean, this is every young Hebrew boy's dream. It's kind of like having a big ranch out in Wyoming. Or maybe just a Z71 Chevy pickup truck that's brand new. Or a place at the lake. I mean, everything was done that needed to be done for this to be a productive enterprise. I mean, I guess in North Texas you could equate this as, you know, the boss of the business left and left you in charge. Whoa, we can do it. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. And again he sent other servants more than the first. And they did the same to them. So these people who were given the duty of exercising God's kingdom in the world, the very agency called the church that would be God's agent to the world in terms of caring for each other and reaching out to the lost, the battered and the smashed? Or am I getting ahead of myself? Finally, he sent his son to them saying, they will respect my son. I mean, do you see what Jesus is doing? I mean, he's deliberately giving to them the gospel. I mean, this is what the son came to do. To put the business back on the tracks. To actually fulfill what's necessary so that the church would accomplish its purpose in the world. At last he sent his son saying, they will respect my son. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance. We'll have the truck to ourselves. We'll have the ranch to ourselves. We'll have the cabin by the lake to ourselves. We'll have the vineyard to ourselves. I mean, Jesus, in Holy Week, after he enters in, has to face the leaders. He has to address their management of God's business. And he tells them what they're going to do. And then he asks the question. And then he tells them, and they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. I mean, he is telling them exactly what's going to happen. We know the rest of the story. The pastor got kicked out of church. Trumped up charges were leveled against him, and he was crucified. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? You don't have to respond this time like I had you do last Sunday. They said to him, and think about this. Think about how, I mean, Jesus is presenting the truth to them. And they've taken it hook, line, and sinker. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, and here they are, he will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons. I mean, they get it. And they're getting it. And they're understanding what's happening to them. And so Jesus says, have you never read in the scriptures? His rhetoric is interesting, his way of persuasion. You know, have you never read? Don't you know? These kinds of little loops that Paul and Jesus use is so interesting. I mean, didn't you guys go to Bible study? Didn't you read this in the Bible? Haven't you read? The stone, this is from the Psalms, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. For the church to stay on the tracks, it will need nothing less than the sacrifice of the Son to get it done. Even if the builders don't get it, this is how the business, and this is the only way the business can run. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. You know, I just love that psalm. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because it is marvelous in our eyes what God has done. And even if today you have to start all over again, this is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You can start again, knowing that God is at work. And in the good news, he's placing you right where you need to be in all of your life. Because he is the fundamental part of your life and my life that makes it all work. This is the Lord's doing. Therefore, I tell you, he's no longer talking in story or metaphor. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. I mean, it's fascinating to think how they just took over God's business. It was like a hostile takeover. They wanted to do whatever they wanted to do because they were the leaders. They were on top. And Jesus is calling them on it because God cares about his vineyard. He seeks to grow within it the precious fruit made possible through Jesus. I mean, this whole section is so fascinating to me. You know, I want to go back to chapter 21 at the beginning of it, the first 16 verses where Jesus talks about what it means to be in the vineyard and how work is to be done. And yet how those who are rewarded not on the basis of their own labors. I mean, the wages of our sin, they've been paid in full. And we receive the reward by the one who worked the hardest, the one who suffered the most, the one who endured the greatest. The one and the only one who is worthy. And on the basis of his worthiness, we receive all of God's blessings. But it would take his death. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. You know, the gospel is an offense. And it is foolish. Except for all who believe it. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard this parable, heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. They get it. He's talking about us. We're the ones. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds, because they held him to be a prophet. How fascinating. We see these Pharisees, you know, Pharisees, they were the strong lay movement in Jesus' day. They were responsible for all the synagogue set up, the rabbinical tradition. And then you have the order of the Levites. These were the priests. They were the ones in charge of the sacrificial system, the ceremonial law. You also had the scribes. They were the lawyers of the day, knowing Moses frontwards and backwards. But it is clear that what is really moving them is their anger for Jesus. And yet how interesting that these leaders don't want to do anything because they're afraid of the people, so they're also governed by fear. They didn't like the fact that Jesus was welcoming in sinners. They didn't like the fact that he would talk about how the kingdom of heaven is a place where prostitutes and tax collectors can find a place at home to be embraced and forgiven, and where God's mercy heals the broken and turns them into saints by grace through faith in Christ, apart from works of the law. And really, the Old Testament church is really no different from the New Testament church in this. The Old Testament faith was justification by grace through faith in Christ, the promised Christ, apart from works of the law. And in the New Testament, it's justification by grace through faith in the Christ who came and laid down his life, so that now through faith in him, we have peace with God. Holy, blameless in Christ. We're learning that when we're struggling with our identity, we look to him and are renewed in who and what we are in Christ. But for the people long ago, they were no longer in that business. That part of their work was done. They had effectively created a spiritual club. That was no use to God but through the sacrifice of his Son. And so now, who's the vineyard been given to, dear brothers and sisters in Christ? It's been given to us under new management, namely by those who realize they fall short but celebrate forgiveness in the Son. And there's plenty of work to be done, not to earn God's favor, but because we have God's favor. There's plenty of work to be done. Not that we have to earn any wages. The wages of sin have been paid in full by Christ, and we have peace with God and the rewards that come from God's grace. And people who believe in that grace are willing to roll up their sleeves. Most of your work in the vineyard is done in your homes. Most of your work, if it's not in your homes, it's done where you work. And maybe it's a lot of mission work. Some of your work is done in your neighborhood, although our neighborhoods, I mean, it's interesting. I was really connected to my neighborhood in California because I had little kids that went all over the neighborhood. And they just have a way of making you get to know a lot of people, whether you like it or not. And here, I don't know, maybe in North Texas it's harder to get to know your neighbors. But even in our neighborhoods, there is vineyard work to be done. And those who believe in the gift of the Son, maybe just pray for our neighbors. Encourage them where we can. Help them out if we can. Mowing their lawn or whatever. But there's work to be done. Although there is also some work to be done here. You've heard a little bit about Journey to the Manger. That's vineyard work. Doesn't maybe look like it, but it's vineyard work. There's a work party coming this Saturday. That's vineyard work, although that's to prepare us for our vineyard work in some ways because it's about our facility, our tools. And soon you'll be hearing about nominations to serve various positions in our organization, vineyard work. There's plenty of work to be done. And we do it in the strength of God's grace and love in His Son. Understanding that some of the things that we do, we've got to do differently. We've got to keep following the Lord who makes all things new. But this is the truth that we cannot escape about God's vineyard, His kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, His precious people, His church. It's under new management. And the keys have been given to us. And now it's our turn. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.